The Diocese of Al-Obeid is right in the center of Sudan, and I always described it as a United Nations in miniature, because it is composed of so many ethnic groups, Arabs and Africans, and the Africans, diverse tribes. Yes, it is a big diocese, but the Christians are not that many. The northern part of the diocese is Muslim, Arabs, and the southern part, actually the future of the church is in the southern part of the diocese, particularly the Nuba Mountains, which it's called South Kordofan, and also going south west, and this is the Dinka tribe of Abyei, which is contested now, and it is part of the fight. Abyei now is the capital of these people, but it does not exist anymore. Khartoum just wiped it out. The majority of southern Kordofan is they are the Nuba people who are farmers. They are not cattle owners.
So as far as a lot of people in the world would be concerned, things were better in Darfur. Things had maybe settled down. So what is currently happening in Sudan that has you so concerned and that should have us in the rest of the world concerned?
To be honest, Darfur is in bad situation. And for your information, Darfur is part and parcel of my diocese as well. And Darfur geographically goes north as far as Libya, west with the whole of Chad, and south with Central African Republic. Darfur now is inhabited by both Arab tribes and by African tribes. But the rich part of Darfur is in the hands of the Africans. Actually, God gave them that land. It's full of mineral resources. It has best quality of oil. They say even we have a lot of copper, but it hasn't been utilized yet. But our diocese now is suffering again because Abyei now, the people of Abyei, they ran away from Abyei. They were moved southwards. For some time, I had 165,000 people displaced from Abyei, Dinka people. Now we have the problem also of the Nuba. So Khartoum practically is attacking all these people for the sake of oil and for the sake of agriculture and mineral resources. So this is the situation at the moment.
Now, you described the plight of the Nuba people in an article you wrote in the Irish Times as being akin to the Stone Age. Why did you say that? Why did you say that the conditions they're living in are like what would have been there in the Stone Age?
I don't recall I have said that, but maybe I did, because if I consider them Stone Age, because when you deprive people of all the amenities of life, what do you expect them to be? When you don't allow them to have medicine, when you don't allow them to have food, when you don't allow them to have building material to construct, these people, they are left to their own fate. And instead of going progressing, they are regressing. And that's why I must have used the word. But, you know, at times I speak, but in a moment of inspiration, and then that's it.
Okay. Well, it's as well we have it recorded. You definitely said that. So, Bishop, you're in exile since 1988. So are you in a position to see what is happening firsthand in your diocese?
In the first place, I was not exiled by the government of Khartoum. Let it be clear. It was a self-imposed exile, based on the advice of many people. Among them was a member of the ruling junta when they were at the beginning of their regime. He is not a Catholic, but he is a Christian belonging to the Episcopalian Church. He's a Dinka. And he said to me, Bishop, don't come back. I left my diocese not because I was afraid. No. I left the diocese not because I knew the dangers. No. I left the diocese for health reasons. And I ended up in Washington, where they discovered that I had cancer in the bile duct, which is called Whipple surgery. And while I was recuperating in the Jesuit community, this member of the ruling junta came up to Washington to tell me, Bishop, don't return. So after I had my convalescence, I said, what am I going to do? So I started going to Geneva, and I went to Geneva for 5 consecutive years to speak about the plight of my people, not only my people, but also for the whole South. And then after that, through the help, well, going to the United Nations, it was through the help of Miserior in Germany. I have got also to give credit to CSI in Switzerland, Christian Solidarity International, who made it possible for me to go to the Nuba Mountains after so many years and to see the plight of my people. So ever since I was working in the field of creating awareness, advocacy everywhere. I came even to Ireland. And then after 18 years of self-imposed exile, I returned back. But now I'm exiled again, self-imposed, because I started speaking again.
So what can the people of Ireland do to help you and to help the plight of our fellow human beings?
Well, I mentioned various steps. One is to put pressure on Khartoum to stop the aerial bombardment of the innocent people. Usually the victims of this bombing, they are not the members of the liberation movement. Rarely they get them. But it is on the children, on the women, and on the elderly. And to kill their children, this is the biggest disgrace, and this is what is going to bring the wrath of Almighty God on Khartoum. These are innocent creatures. And the biggest gift God gave humanity are the children. Secondly, mothers. Mothers are untouchable. I call them the untouchable. Because it is through these mothers that these children come. Thirdly, the elders, and they are the guardians and the custodian of the culture and traditions of a nation. A nation that does not look after its elderly citizens is a cursed nation. That's why I decided to speak up and say, stop the aerial bombardment. Stop slaughtering our people. This is number one. And I entrusted this to the Irish people and to the Irish church. Let them speak. And to the Irish government, stop the aerial bombardment, one. Two, open corridors to bring in relief, whether it is medicine, whether it's food, or whether it's clothes, or whatever. And this should be aerial and also by road, not necessarily from the north, from Khartoum. Because who trusts them anymore? The people will not eat the stuff given to them by Khartoum. They say it might be poisoned. So let this relief come from Kenya, from Uganda, from anywhere. Thirdly, force the two belligerent parties to sit down in a civilized way to thrash out their differences and come to a peaceful, just solution. These are the three steps that are needed to save the Nuba from extermination.
We have to leave it at that, but thank you very much and congratulations on your Nobel Peace Prize nomination.
Thank you, but I don't know whether I get it. If I get it, I'll get it in the name of my people.
We wish you the best of luck and thank you very much for talking to us.